Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Ball and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Turn around, every now and then I get a little bit terrified. Turn around. Oh. I should have led with a different song, actually. Told Clips of the Heart's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
I should have instead probably led off like I would any other year, especially if we're recording on April 8th, with a little Rex Manning, because it is indeed Rex Manning Day for all that celebrate and want to honor him in his glory. Okay, it's for Gen Xers that grew up watching Empire Records. And yeah, April 8th, Rex Manning. So, Maxwell Caulfield from Grease 2 starring as Rex Manning. Movie also starring Liv Tyler, Ethan Embry, Rory Cochran, Anthony LaPaglia, Robin Tunney, huge cast. Oh, Renee Zellweger. Yeah, very young cast at that time. The movie came out in 1995, which means next year will be its 30th anniversary. And I've never felt older. But
I like older movies making you feel old.
Yep, but it's such a classic and something that was definitely part of my high school and early college loop, I guess, of movies that I watched a lot. So we'll have to do something next year for sure to celebrate, because definitely a very quotable movie, and I would say relatable to an extent. And it's something you won't see get made again. Because it takes place at a somewhat failing record store, mm-hmm. being bought out by the big corporation. So, but you know, it's also dealing with, you know, high schoolers, some people even out of high school, just young adults, and trying to make it through the day.
Yeah.
So with all their out of work drama and sometimes work drama. But it's also very funny, and I love it. And decent soundtrack. So I was actually listening to it on the way back from Grayson's tumbling class. So, anyways, with that being said, good evening, Patrick. We were recording Monday night instead of Monday morning. How are you?
Yeah, going all right. Now, I've heard of the movie, but I haven't watched it. So, yeah. So when you made the post, I'm like,
yep.
I don't know who that is. I feel like I should, but I don't.
You've got a year.
Yeah. So I will check it out, because I've heard it mentioned plenty of times as far as, you know, movies worth checking out.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'm doing pretty good. Just coming off of WrestleMania weekend, WrestleMania 40.
So, 40. Woof.
Yeah.
And I'm the things that make you feel old.
Right. And definitely felt old, because it was like throwback to the Attitude Era in a way, because mm-hmm. So The Rock has come back. I guess, you know, since Black Adam didn't work out box office wise, it's like, let me go back to wrestling. But I don't know what his reasons were for coming back, but it worked out.
We've only got one more last ride for the Fast and Furious. So,
right. But yeah, the weekend was good. I mean, there was a couple of moments where, you know, I guess botchy moments that happened, but that's bound to happen. You know, your timing's off a little bit, but overall, the whole event was great. I'm not sure how I guess The Rock would probably be the only one you recognize right now.
No, that's not true. I recognize Jason Kelsey.
Coming out in a luchador mask, looking all just giant. I was like, I don't know who that is, but it's definitely not your traditional luchadors.
It said Philadelphia Eagles on the back. I knew exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, that was during the Rey Mysterio. And
that one sort of sounds familiar.
Andrade, and they went against Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio's son.
Oh.
It's weird, like, because back in the day, there was a storyline between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, where Eddie was claiming that Dominic was his son, and so they had a match over who's the actual father. But now Dominic's grown up.
Oh, my
and
God.
He's a wrestler. And he looks more like Eddie than...
Please tell me Maury came out with the folding chair. Instead of hitting anybody with it, he just opened it, set it down in the middle, and said, I've gotten this envelope.
Nah, but that would have been cool.
It would have been dope. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they had a match. And during the match, everything kind of breaks down. All the wrestlers in the ring. And then Dominik grabbed a chair. And then that's when the giant luchadors came out.
Dang.
It was funny.
That's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. But yeah, all the matches were great. Got to see Jade Kay, who got signed from AEW. She teamed up with Naomi and Bianca Belair and went against Damage Control, which is Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. Of course, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi, they won. But they had a nice killer entrance, you know, so it's super cool. But they were guaranteed to win. They overpowered them. I mean, there's no way. Only way the other team would have won is, you know, shenanigans. But, you know, night one, the biggest thing was The Rock and Roman Reigns tag teaming against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And that night, The Rock got the pin on Cody after, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the stipulation was if they won, then the next night when Cody faced Roman, it was going to be bloodline rules, which means it's anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty much how it always is when Roman's defending a title. So, but on night two, we had a different result from last year where, you know, still had the shenanigans where bloodline interfered. But then you had some surprise people come out. John Cena made an appearance.
I was wondering. I was about to ask because I saw that might be.
Yeah. Yeah, he came out. And so first it was Jimmy Uso came out, super kicked Cody. And then Jey Uso came out. They fought, went off the side of the ramp into the tables. And then their brother Solo came out. He's got this move where he hits him with the Samoan spike where he has his heavily taped thumb and he just jabs it in the throat. He did that, but Cody kicked out of the pin. And then him and Roman did a combo spear and spike. And so that's when John Cena popped up and he get his attitude adjustment to Roman. And then he did the same thing to Solo through the table. And then The Rock comes out. Now, it's been a long time before The Rock and Cena's been in the ring together. But The Rock got the upper hand, hit him with the rock bottom. And he's about to take his belt to the back of Cody. And then hear the Undertaker's bells. So he comes out, lights go out, come back on. He's in the ring. Rock doesn't see him. Then he turns around and choke slams him. Lights go back off. Everybody's out of the ring. But it was cool. It was
right, just like, yeah, we didn't really know how to end this one. So yeah, this will work.
Yeah. It'd been cool if Steve, that's kind of the Taker thing. Lights out. He comes in. He's there. Back off and he's gone again. But it'd been cool if they could have got Austin to come out because, you know, hear that glass shattering again. But yeah, overall, just it was fun.
Yeah.
Know? Wrestling is fun again. And they're not going as sports entertainment anymore. It's actually calling it pro wrestling like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's fun again. It's actually interesting.
Good. Yeah. Was anybody able to actually see John Cena there or was it just talk?
I mean, we heard a voice, maybe some floating T-shirts and whatnot.
Okay. Okay.
You know. Well, I don't know.
He ever wears camo.
R-Truth can see him.
Okay.
You're familiar with him.
There you go.
But that's about the only person that can see him.
Nice. That's awesome. For me, the craziest sports thing that we watched was we watched the girls' Final Four. Well, the Final Four game, and as well as the championship game. We caught the tail end of the championship game because we are at Kung Fu Panda 4, which we'll talk about next week. So we got to watch the end of that. Simultaneously, Mavericks were also playing against Houston, and we're getting their butt kicked by 15 points, to which I could not understand this.
Yeah,
because Houston's okay, but the Mavericks are a lot better than them, and it was really irking my soul that they were losing by that much. Considering they had a nail biter, was it Friday night Friday night? Because is when I went to go see Late Night with the Devil, and I was having to follow the end of the Iowa LSU game, as well as the end of the Mavericks Golden State game.
Right.
And yeah, it was both wild games. And both teams, Iowa and the Mavericks, won by 2 points. And I was finally able to sit and just, you know, be at peace. We're coming off of that one. Then, just, you know, Golden State's pretty solid team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very stressed. And then, you know, after an amazing South Carolina team beat Iowa, and just, yeah, two amazing teams. Just someone had to win. It just sucks that, you know, there has to be one winner, one loser, because they're both just outstanding teams with outstanding talent. And even in a loss, Caitlin Clark still had 30 points.
Yeah.
And she was like being like double teamed and everything. Still managed to be dropping threes like no one's business. And yeah, just a wild game. After that one was over, I kind of just stretched out in the recliner, fell asleep. I know 30 minutes later, I wake up and the Mavs won in overtime, 147 to 135. Kyrie had 48. Yes, Kyrie had 48 points. It was wild. Lucas still had a triple or a double double. He was one rebound away from a triple double. Anyway, it was great. Just great sports. Sports. And there's only, I think, four or somewhere between like four and six games left in the regular season. The Mavericks are in fifth. You need to be six or higher to be in the playoffs in your division. After that, with a couple of the other teams below that, we'll play a play-in game for the final couple of spots. But right now, the team that's above them are the Clippers, which our good friend Dustin Rubin from $2 Late Fee is a big Clippers fan. So I do have a proposal, a bet, if you will, if the Mavericks end up having to face off against the Clippers. So I won't say it just yet because I haven't ran a by them yet, but I thought of something, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. We're trying to get used to the new schedule for everyone's events. You know, York's Krav Day switched to Monday, Wednesday, instead of Tuesday, Thursday. Grayson's soccer practice got rained out. And then Thursday had, you know, dance practice. And then York had martial arts again on Friday. And then this time had his first practice on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He went ahead and did some sit-ups before class just to go to class and have to also do push-ups and sit-ups during class. So he I wouldn't say overdid it, but he, yeah.
Definitely tired after that.
Oh, funny you should mention that. So after the game, they actually ended up going to watch Grayson play soccer at her soccer game. Surprised her. Yeah, surprised her at the game. She was very excited. And so, but after the game, he went home, he collapsed on the couch and slept for 4 hours straight.
Power nap.
Yeah. That's how tired he was after that first black belt training practice.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was very sweet. And Grace's team lost 4-3, but they still had an amazing time. She's not even mad about it. It's like the other team just had a really good comeback. All right, cool.
Good attitude.
Yep. I hope it stays that way. So, yeah, it's going well. Going well. All right, shall we get into our trailers? We've got six.
Night.
Yeah. So, first up is a movie called Cuckoo or Cuckoo?
Cuckoo.
C-U-C-K. C-U-C-K-O-O. Cuckoo, isn't it?
Yep, cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Okay. All right.
The cuckoo clock.
There you go. A 17-year-old girl is forced to move with her family to a resort where things are not what they seem. Starring Hunter Schaefer, Dan Stevens, Jessica Henwick, which most people might know from Iron Fist, Martin Kuskus, Astrid Burgess Frisbee, written and directed by Tillman Singer. Now, question, is this the one that's the Strangers prequel? Or is that like, that's like called the Strangers something?
Chapter one, yeah.
Chapter one, something like that. I saw that, I go, nah, I'm good.
But this one, Cuckoo, is the one I thought was going to be playing for the mystery movie because it had it listed as the similar time. Yeah. But end up Sting only had like a 90-minute runtime. So I see that they were the trickery on that. Because
yeah.
I think a few people figured out the movie from that. So they said, nah, let's switch it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This makes more sense. Yeah. I think I saw the trailer for this. I'm kind of iffy on this one, I think. I'll probably end up going to see it. It seems like it's more like a psychological.
Yeah.
Horror.
Like a slasher. It's more mental. Yeah.
Next up, we have Fly Me to... Oh, sorry. Cuckoo comes out August 9th. Next up is Fly Me to the Moon, starring Scarlett Johansson, Woody Harrelson, Channing Tatum, Jim Rash, Ray Romano, Peter Jacobson.
Yeah.
Marketing maven Kelly Jones wreaks havoc on launch director Cole Davis's already difficult task. When the White House deems the mission too important to fail, Jones is directed to stage a fake moon landing as backup. So, written by Kenan Flynn, Rose Gilroy, and story by Bill Kirstein. Directed by Greg Berlanti, who did a lot of the Arrowverse. He executive produced a lot of the Arrowverse shows. And Greg's directed a bunch of other stuff, too, like Love, Simon, and a bunch of others. But mostly known for, like, producing. So I really like him. Like his work. Oh, he did Life as We Know It and The Broken Hearts Club as far as directing, but usually kind of sticks to producing. Yeah. That comes out July 12th. Next, the final film in the X trilogy, Maxine. Maxxine. In 1980s Hollywood, adult film star and aspiring actress Maxine Meeks finally gets her big break. But as a mysterious killer stalks the starlets of Hollywood, a trail of blood threatens to reveal her sinister past. Written and directed by Ty West, starring Giancarlo Esposito, Michelle Monaghan, Mia Goth, Elizabeth Debicki, Kevin Bacon, Lily Collins, Bobby Cannavale, Halsey. There's a lot of people in this movie.
Man, I honestly still haven't watched Pearl yet.
Me either.
Yeah, so I'm like, guess I'll go watch X, then Pearl, then this.
Yeah.
Around the time it come out.
Yep. Which will be July 5th. So, yep. Next, we have the movie Babes. Tell us the story of Eden, who becomes pregnant from a one-night stand and leans on her married best friend and mother of two to guide her. Starring Shola Edwusi, Sandra Bernhardt, Michelle Buteau, Crystal Finn, Rosa Gilmore, Alana Glazer.
Yeah.
Written by Alana Glazer and Josh Rabinowitz. There you go. And directed by Pamela Alden, who used to have a show with Alana Glazer. So, besties.
Yeah, this looks like a fun one.
And Michelle Buteau is freaking hilarious, and she's been in a bunch of things. Next, we have Janet Planet. In rural western Massachusetts, 11-year-old Lacey spends the summer of 1991 at home, enthralled by her own imagination and the attention of her mother, Janet. As months pass, three visitors enter their orbit, all captivated by Janet. So, starring Juliet Nicholson and Zoe Ziegler. Dun, dun, dun. Next, coming out actually in 2 weeks, we have the newest trailer, probably hopefully the final trailer, for Abigail. After a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they are locked inside no normal little girl. She's a vampire.
Ballerina vampire.
A ballerina vampire. Yep. This is directed by Matt Bettinelli-Ulfing and Tyler Gillett. This is also the same guys that did Ready or Not, which I absolutely loved.
Yes.
So I feel like this is just going to be in the same vein where it's a comedy horror. I really kind of hope York wants to go see this with me because I think he would like it. It's starring Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton, Giancarlo Esposito, Matthew Good, Melissa Barrera, Kevin Durand, Alicia Weir, Angus Cloud, and William Catlett. So that comes, like I said, that comes out in 2 weeks, April 19th. So I am definitely going to go see it. Even though I said, you know, I don't do like gory horror, this is different. This is.
I don't think it's be that.
Yeah, no, especially if it's anything like Ready or Not, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And that's the six we have for trailers this week. We actually had something we haven't been able to do in a long time. We both saw the same two movies.
Yeah, we synced
go
up.
Go me. I did three in a row this week. Literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday movies.
There you go.
There. Sorry, hold on. Oh, there we go. Stretch. There we go. Pat that back. I don't know about you, but no, when I went, they didn't have any lids for my refillable drink. So they kept giving me the large instead.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
That happened to me once. That's how I got my Aquaman cup.
Oh, okay.
So I went and got a medium, and I guess they just ran out of cups, and I saw them putting the drink. I was at 100 Oak, though.
Yep.
But I just saw them putting the drink in that cup. I'm like, I'm not going to be mad at that. And then when I was done, I got a refill.
Yeah. Well, so the first, okay, so I take it back. Late Night with the Devil, they gave me a small, which still is bigger than I think it's bigger than a refillable one. And then I didn't care because I also had an adult drink too. Yeah. And then it's like, sure, that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then when I went back Saturday for Monkey Man, they again, you know, obviously didn't get them within the overnight. Yeah. So they gave me a large. I'm like, okay, shit, works for me. And they don't really care because they're still charging you for a drink. It's not like you're just getting a free drink.
No, they're
just charging you less. They're just, yeah. They're just charging you just a little bit less. And so then when we went Saturday, I said, he's like, oh, we don't have any lids for that. I said, I know. Yesterday, they just gave me a large, you know, because y'all didn't have any lids. And dude ended up he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And or what? He just ended up filling up the drink and we just didn't have a lid. Like, all right, that works too. I said, that's probably on me, to be honest. I should have just kept my mouth shut. But no big deal.
At least you weren't doing 40X that day.
Oh, no kidding. They didn't have, well, yeah. Yeah. No 40X for Kung Fu Panda.
Mm-mm.
So, all righty, let's get into it. Let's start with, all right, so we have a double feature. Like I previously said, this week we will be talking about two movies, unfortunately not for kids. We're going to make it up next week. We'll make it up next week. First one we're going to talk about is Late Night with the Devil. It is rated R, the runtime of 1 hour 33 minutes. It is written by Colin Kiernis and Cameron. I think it's Kiernis, C-A-I-R-N-E-S. Kiernis, yeah.
Yeah, that's a situation of just saying it how it looks.
Yeah. So the movie was both written and directed by those, we'll say brothers. Let's just assume they're brothers since same last names. About a live television broadcast in 1977 that goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. Starring David Deshmalian, Laura Gordon, Ian Bliss, Faisal Bazzi as Christu, Ingrid Torelli as Lily, Reese Arturi as Gus McConnell, Georgia Haig as Madeline Piper, Josh Kong Tart as Leo Fisk, and Steve Muzakis Xander DeBow. And yeah, Ian Bliss plays Carmichael Haig, and Laura Gordon Smith plays June Ross Mitchell, and then David Deshmalian plays Jack Delroy. So the movie is shot just like a late night talk show. I mean, it is, it's used to, like, the film is old. You could tell it looks like it's old. You know, they were, I don't know if they actually used that film or they just, you know, one of those, you know, fixed it in post type of thing.
Right.
But it, but yeah, it is shot real grainy looking to make it kind of give that feel, that texture of watching it live back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And the what it does well right off the bat is pull you in by just pulling in on just a shot of a older, like, 1970s TV on a cart and everything, zooming in to give you, like, the exposition of the rise of Jack Delroy and his rise to stardom and everything, kind of set it up for everything. And, you know, his having all these different guests on, very different, you know, kind of, I don't know, it was just like a Carson, like, and in fact, his rival was Carson, and he wanted to outdo Carson and all this stuff. And then his wife gets diagnosed with cancer. They bring her on, you know, that's kind of a last ditch effort, I think, for ratings too. And, you know, it turns out to be a success. And then you find out that his wife passes away. Then he leaves, you know, the entertainment life or the business for a while. Yeah. 2 years later, decides to come back. But there was rumors that he had joined some, like, cult out in the woods and all this stuff with a bunch of other kind of high profile people. And yes. So when
some elite California camp called The Grove.
Yes. So when Jack comes back, he's trying to return to his glory days and, you know, still has that goal to be better than Carson and beat him in ratings and everything. And so on Halloween, because it's all, it just so happens to be sweeps week.
Yep.
They decide to do something different. Also, after they give the exposition, they say basically this is the last recording of that show. This is, you know, what you're about to watch is uncut footage from the entire show, which is great because it says, you know, even when they're not going, when they go, so you still see the footage. But what they do is they go from color to black and white to let you know they're not on air at the time, which is a really cool idea to do. And it does kind of help you understand what's going on if you're not able to follow it for some reason. So yeah, so so the camera keeps pushing into the screen, which then makes, you know, obviously the footage, you know, of them going live. Well, it starts out behind the scenes because they hadn't gone live yet, and they're talking to Jack about all these guests that they have coming on. Well, actually, has the intro to the show.
Yeah,
just like it went on TV, and, you know, who the guests were and everything. And then, yeah, he comes out with his monologue, talks about how the show's going to be different. You know, not always at Halloween, but it's also sweeps week. So, you know, so they're trying something different. So they have a mentalist, Christu, and then they have another guy that's kind of like, that's a hypnotist, but also kind of a skeptic on some other things because, you know, it's not his thing.
Right.
So his the only true thing. Like, there's space for everybody, my dude.
His whole purpose is just proving people as being false. You know, all this is fake. It's all for show. It's not real. He's the skeptic.
He's the OG Twitter troll. That's what he was.
but you know, he's offering a sweet deal. If you prove me right, I got a $100,000 check for you. Yep. I mean, if you prove me wrong, if you're actually legit, I got a check for $100,000, and then eventually he bumps it up to like 500 to half a million. Yeah. Like, shoot. Yeah,
I'm going to make sure this is real. Yeah, about saying 1970s time, too. That's
a lot of money. I mean,
it's a lot of money now, but it's even more back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. And then they bring out, you know, a psychologist, parapsychologist that, you know, had there that had rescued this girl who was part of a cult, and the house burnt down with all these cult members. They basically did a Waco style, the feds did, you know, and the house got, you know, pretty much burnt down with everybody inside except for one little girl, Lily. So it turns out Lily's, you know, maybe just a little possessed. Maybe just a little possessed.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a hair. But she's trying to rehabilitate and get her past it, you know, to where she can literally get the demons out.
Right.
And so, you know, they can't wait to, Jack can't wait to broadcast this because he knows it'll be good. But it also appears Jack might be having her, him and the good doctor, Dr. June Ross Mitchell, might be having a relationship that, or at least the beginnings of one, maybe.
Yeah.
So, doesn't really go into it, but you could tell there's something there.
A little bit of, I don't even know what to call it.
Just,
but yeah. Just, I guess. I mean, they've definitely already passed the flirting part. Because he's a little too close for it to not have already gone down, so. But yeah. It's not always professional with them. We'll just say it that way.
No, there you go. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, it was. So they bring on each person. You know, the mentalist guy doesn't do super great.
Right.
I was like, oh, damn. Bless his heart. I was just like,
he's trying, though. He's throwing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what we got? We got in this.
Yeah.
But
he's keep tossing the spaghetti till it sticks on the wall.
Right. And he does kind of have one moment that seems real, mm-hmm. but still you got your skeptic that's like, I'm not buying that.
Right.
You know? But I was like, damn, his eyes legit rolled. I don't know how you missed that.
Right.
But
oh my gosh.
Yeah. It got creepy. It's basically like you seeing like, yeah, maybe it wasn't a good idea for Jack to do this.
Yeah.
Even his sidekick, his partner is telling like, maybe we don't need to do this.
Right. And nobody listens.
Oh, Jack's gonna be number one.
Yep. So, you know, and things start happening, and then, you know, that cut commercial and everything, and then they bring out, you know, the hypnotist and everything. And you could tell he's a dick. It's like he's just not likable whatsoever.
No. No, he's very arrogant and I'm right. All this is just, you know, sweeps week. Of course, this stuff's gonna be what it is.
Yeah,
but I mean, the biggest thing there when they actually bring Lily out, like the whole atmosphere changes, like instantly. Like I was reading, like a caption, somebody said, like once Lily comes on the screen, you just can't help but keep an eye on her because you just know something's not right for real.
Yeah.
Like you can tell, even though she has this sweet innocent look. Nah, there's something evil
in that child. Yeah, it's, and you could tell that, especially, you know, if you're like us, you know, and we kind of grew up during the satanic panic of the 80s anyways, you know, this isn't that far removed from it.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, plus the 70s had their own with serial killers and demoness and stuff like that. So, you know, this is all relevant for them.
Be accurate
and true. Yeah, and so this is just, yeah, and so they, you know, they bring Lily and June and Dr. June out, and they start talking, and then that's where Carmichael Higgs started getting on them, say, hey, we do this, you know, what's it's like, well, this is easily debunked by doing this and this. So they, you know, they try and make a, they have the good doctor and Lily essentially pull the demon out of her, and it causes her skin changes colors. She looks different within like seconds. And then there's even a point where she levitates like off the ground and everything.
Yep.
Like, oh, okay. And they, And the dude still doesn't buy. So now it's all easily explained.
But I mean, how do you explain the facial features changing? Like, she's got scars and her eye color's different. It's like, either you're just really dense in the head, which that's what it is.
Also that.
And, or he's just not willing to accept it.
And that's pretty much what kind of more that than anything else, I think.
Yeah. He just refuses.
But it is. So for anybody that watched the Justice League Snyder Cut and how it was shot in that little box format, like the old 4:3, one thing that it still took me a few minutes to realize was that this too was shot like that too, which is great because it really makes you feel like you're watching TV, like old school TV. And so the whole movie is like that. And it's just, I don't say wasted space, but it's just black space on both sides. And I was so into it, it literally had to take a second and go, hold on, wait a minute. this is shot differently too. And it just, not something I had really thought about because I don't feel like it started out that way. I feel like once it zoomed into the TV and went live on the show, that's when it started, but maybe not. I'd probably need to see it again.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of things that go awry. Like after they have that and want to talk to Willie's demon more, it just, things go downhill pretty quickly. But what is crazy is how well David Dashmalian plays this TV host. Like, I mean, he does a brilliant job. Like he's great. And it's just wild how he just goes along with everything. And I'm like, at some point you got to go, maybe we should stop.
But no, he's very fixated on getting that number one spot.
Yes.
He wants to be Carson. It doesn't matter how he has to do it. He's willing to do whatever it takes. And he bites off, seems like he might bite off more than he could chew. but that's why when I finished, I text you and said, it's a perfect movie for him.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, it was interesting when the Cairns brothers said that they had read an article. Apparently, David Dashmalian wrote an article in Fangoria magazine. And in the interview, the film's two directors published in this magazine said, well, I mean, other than Sure just recognizing his awesome work and all the films he had been in, but then they opened up the Fangoria magazine one day and read an article by David on regional horror hosts. They're reading that and knowing his work, they were just like, this is going to be a really good fit. Obviously, Hero Jack is a TV host, so it felt like there would be some affinity there. And, I mean, you could tell he obviously had already done his research, so he was able to kind of just bring all of that he already knew, plus bring his kind of weird...
Yeah.
His weirdness and just really make it something of his own. And I think he's a phenomenal character actor. He really just, it doesn't matter what it is.
No,
he's going to sink his teeth into it and just, give it 100%. So
maximum,
but maximum for sure. Cause he certainly brought it though. And I think this was, as somebody who, even though it's not a found footage movie per se, but it's a fresh way to do something that is, let's say, prior footage.
Mm-hmm.
But they found a new way to make it fresh and not tired and something that's been done 1,000 times over and usually not nearly as well. But it was great. And I really dug it. I will probably end up getting this one because I really enjoyed it. But yeah, it was very well done, very well made. And even for somebody like me that doesn't like, it's very picky about his horror movies, this is one I really enjoyed because it wasn't really that gross. It's a lot of psychological horror. There's one or two things that may gross you out, but
Yeah. And then, you know, it's a lot of practical effects in it.
Yes. A lot of great practical and very little CGI, if any. So
now there was some, I guess people were kind of making a stink about them using some AI art. And apparently it was just like three brief clips of it. And it wasn't even like much, what was it? It wasn't much to really make a stink about, but people did just because they use AI art. And it's just three things that briefly show up. And I guess it's different than what they showed. Like the theatrical release is different from what they presented at South by Southwest. Oh. So some people noticed, I guess people that saw it then watched this and noticed something different from that.
Gotcha.
But being that I've never gone to South by Southwest.
Yes. Someday.
Cool. That would be cool.
Yep. Someday. Field trip. We got to take a field trip.
That would be cool.
Yep. Start a Kickstarter to send the podcast to South by next year.
Yep.
But yeah, I would, if you like psychological horror movies, much like I do, this is not a gory sci-fi or a slasher sci-fi. There's one scene where someone's under hypnosis that it's a little gross, but it reminded me of like old 80s.
Yeah, horror movies. More over the top.
Yeah.
It's more creepy than scary or gross. It's just real creepy. Yeah. Like, ooh.
I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, we will warn you, there's about 12 different, you know how at the beginning of movies it always has like the little animation or whatever for whatever production company is, you know, is producing the movie or financed it. This had about 12 different ones in front of it.
Oh, yeah, just kept going.
It's like 5 minutes of the first 5 minutes in the movies. It was wild. I'd never seen that many before. But
yeah, it was a couple of people in the theater just like, dang, basically commented it's taking so long. And I'm like, yeah, it's a little excessive here, but they want to make sure everybody that helped get this movie made is
shown. Represented. Yep.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for. It got to be where it was kind of humorous, to be honest.
It was probably intended to be that good. Like, let's just mess with the crowd, see what they, how they react to the, you know, the multiple production studios that get shown.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, definitely a good recommend. Kind of surprised it came out this time of year, though, but maybe not. It's all good. Yeah, it
felt more like it should have been actually Halloween, or at least late September.
Yep. That's okay. I'll be able to, it'll probably be on streaming by then. Shoot.
they might even re-release it around that.
Exactly. All right. I'll let you do the next one.
Ooh, maybe the fun stuff with the names.
Not on purpose.
No. Yeah, so we checked out Monkey Man.
Yeah, we did.
Still not cool with that title. It's weird.
Me either. Yeah, me either.
It's weird.
Slumdog Killionaire. It's... That's what I like.
So it had its release pretty much like, I think Late Night with the Devil had their release at South by Southwest the day earlier. And this March 10th, they did. This one was March 11th. And then US and Canada, April 5th. And it has a runtime of 2 hours and 1 minute. And it's written and directed by Dev Patel. And he's also starred in this. He plays Kid. And then his alias, well, he's working Bobby and Monkey Man. Then you have Sharito Copley as Tiger, Peter Bash Tripathy as Alfonso, Vipin Sharma as Alpha, Sikandar Kerr as Rana Singh. And you said he felt like Flash.
Bro, Spider-Man. Does he not? Yeah. Does he not look like freaking. And by the way,
compare the shots.
By the way, I was that day years old, and I realized that that's Joe Manganiello as Flash Thompson in the first Spider-Man movie.
Hmm. I mean,
I'm here to tell. Let me go ahead and tell you, I IMDb'd it to find the freaking picture.
Yeah,
and that's when it came up. I go, I about threw my phone in the theater, mind you, because I was like, there's no way I've not known this. I was like, holy shit. That's Joe Manganiello.
He was older than everybody, right?
This is the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, too.
Yeah.
Or the first one, right? Yeah. I was like, But seriously, this dude is Tony Revoli's Flash Thompson's dad. There you go. Multiverse. There you go. All right, continue.
Then we have Adithi Kalkunte as Neela, Shobhita Dhulipala as Sita. Previous one is Neela.
You said that. Yep.
Okay. And Shobhita Dhulipala as Sita, Ashwini Kausikar as Queenie, Makaran Deshpande as Baba Shakti, and then Jaden Malik plays Young Kid, and Zakir Hussain as Tabla Maestro on the drums.
I promise I didn't mean to do this to you. Do you dirty like this?
I was trying to practice while I was at work, but I'm like, I'm not going to get this right. Because I'd have to hear the names a few times to get the actual, you know, pronunciation accurate. But
yeah,
I did my best. Don't know.
Cheers.
Yeah. So this is about an anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systemically victimize the poor and powerless. So, this is basically John Wick, but
no dog.
Yeah, well, no dog. There is a dog.
I mean, there is a dog in the movie, and it stays alive the entire movie.
Yeah. So, kid's motivation is more personal than the dog was personal too for John at that time, but this is a lot closer, literally. So. Basically, it's death of mother. Like, that's the worst thing you want to do to somebody is taking their mother out, especially when they're super close and that's all they have. And like, he's played the long game on this. After his mother died, you know, he pretty much, I'm guessing this is trauma response as an adult. He goes to these fight club and he gets beat every week, or, you know, he's basically like a jobber in wrestling. You're there to make the fight look good, but you always lose. and then when he start off, you know, he gets beat. He goes to get paid, and he only gets half the money that he's supposed to get. Kind of similar to Spider-Man. Like, where's the rest of my money?
Yep.
And so the guy running just like, you get what you get. You know, you're there to bleed. I pay you what I pay you. And, you know, supply and demand, basically. Yep. But then he figures out a way that he can infiltrate this club where the person he's after is a member. And so I like the scene where the purse was stolen and it went through all this different change of hands until he finally got it back and he turns it in like he just found it. But he used it as his way to get a job. And he shows his hands, which at this time he claims that it's like he's chemical burns and whatnot. Just give me the work that nobody else wants and I'll do it. So he gets a job as washing dishes, which I can relate to that. That's how I started when I worked at Vanderbilt. I was in the dish. So I can relate to that. But also he needs to get closer. So Alfonso, he befriends him. And so to kind of, I guess, move up in rank and promotion, he kind of gives him the inside scoop on making bets for the fight. So
right.
He tells him, first two rounds, I'm going to do great, but the last one I'm going to lose. So bet against me, which happens. And so then he's instantly promoted so he can go to the VIP.
Yep.
And
Alfonso reminds me, did you ever watch the TV show Taxi?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I may have seen clips, but I didn't watch.
Yeah. So for those that are old enough to remember Nick at Night and or may have catched it on some other reruns, or watched it then, you know, whenever.
I'm
not trying to narrow down our demographic. Well, for people like me, at least, that watch it in reruns. Alfonso reminds me a lot of Danny DeVito's character from Taxi. And there's a lot of similarities in the way they carry themselves and how they talk to people and how they are kind of a pain in the butt, but at the same time they're like what we would refer to as a necessary evil.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, they're an antagonist, but at the same time, you still kind of feel sorry for them because you realize that they are kind of hollow inside a little bit.
They're kind of overcompensating for them.
Yes.
Their emptiness.
Their emptiness and their short stature.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Napoleon complex.
Yes. And so that's just kind of what I remembered a lot from that character. Okay. Sorry.
But yeah. So basically, he uses his relationship with Afonso to get to the VIP floor so he can reach Rana Singh, who is the one responsible for his mother's death. And then Queenie is basically the boss of this place, but he runs into one of Queenie's prostitutes, Sita. But, he kind of acts in a way. She takes his reaction to seeing Singh as not being able to handle the job that she does. But he's really trying to hold back from fighting, beating Sita's ass. Yeah. So he literally takes his jacket off, goes out to the alley to cool off, which is where he meets, we got a stray dog walks up and he starts feeding the dog scraps from the dumpster, and Sita comes out and basically says, don't feed him because he'll never leave. He'll always come back expecting more. But he uses it to his advantage because later on he ends up buying a gun. So he's been teaching the dog on how to carry it so he can go, because the club has a metal detector. So even if you work there, you're getting checked. You can't come in with anything. So he's trained the dog once he gets inside to bring the dog to bring the gun to the alley. So that way he'll have it. And so, but he does end up making it back to the VIP area. But on this night, they're passing out cocaine.
Yes.
So he gets an idea. He starts to mix the cocaine with some cleaning powder, which is how he got his name, Bobby's Bleach or what have you. And so Rana takes the cocaine and has a strange reaction to it. So he goes to the bathroom. That's how the kid gets him alone. And it's on.
It's on.
Yep.
It does not go as planned.
No, not at all. It's kind of even a little bit, but. Dude just has his number. He's just like he is the police. He's corrupt, but he's the police. He's the captain of the police there, so he's badass.
Yeah.
But so he ends up escaping and taking Alfonso's supercharged tuk-tuk, which is...
Bro, it is...
It's supercharged for real. It's
too fast, too furious for... Yeah.
But, that was his Nicki Minaj.
Yep, it is.
But I mean, man, that car chase, I mean, that was pretty intense.
It was great.
And then he ends up wrecking and he gets arrested, but then he does break free. They're shooting at him. He ends up getting shot and falls in a river. And then we have basically a transgender community takes him in and heals him. And that's where he learns that their community is being targeted by Baba.
He started out as like a guru almost, and then went into politics, and then, it's been running the city, but all in the name of, enlightenment and all that stuff. But he's really making it worse.
Yeah.
In his name, and casting out the outcast. And, there's a lot of upheaval going on in the city as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of playing it off, more or less. And there's an election coming up on Diwali. And, it's a lot going on.
Yeah. But but this community basically takes a man and encourage him to basically train himself to get, I guess, have a new purpose for why he's doing what he's doing. Where it's not just for him to get revenge, but it's also to take them down so, they can find a place in their world that they have going on instead of being outcasted. He even goes as far as to take their money and bet on himself to win. I was like, man, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
Like, he took every little bit of their money. But he didn't have to hold back. He was at the point where he's no longer holding back. And now I'm winning this. I'm going to get all this money and give it back to them. So at least they have money, take care of business. And yeah, this is basically John Wick, but
yeah, less guns actually.
Yeah, true. It's mostly hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Yep. Because I mean, he does have the gun, but he doesn't really get to use it at all.
He used it more during test practice than he did actually on anybody.
I mean, being outside shooting a mural of this guy, yeah, like that's brave.
Yeah.
And nobody saw him.
Yep.
It's like, all right. But yeah, it's good. It's worth checking out. It's definitely it's pretty much like it's as like John Wick, just my style of the headshots. You don't have headshots every 5 minutes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess they end up having a lot of budget cuts while making this.
Yeah.
So there were multiple shots that were filmed on using either GoPros or iPhones.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell.
No, you couldn't. My guess would be probably like, I have an idea. So, you know, he's being chased like afterwards, you know, after his run-in with in the bathroom and how that just did not go well.
No.
So he's now having to run. Now he's on the run. So he's having to flee. And he's like going down stairwells, running through different parts of town. I think a lot of that stuff probably was GoPros or iPhones because of how easy the ease of mobility for it.
I might have had it on the tuk-tuk too. The vehicle. Yep. They might have had it on that definitely. As well.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like $10 million budget, they said.
Yeah, something crazy. And I mean, that's chump change, really.
Yeah.
And for a movie.
I mean, I'm hoping that that's more of a trend where studios realize they don't need $200, $300 million budgets. Oops. Just have a solid script and story. Make a good movie. You don't need a lot of CGI and you don't need it. I mean, I get if you're doing like sci-fi fiction and things of that nature, but if it's grounded like this, you don't need all the extra stuff.
Nope. So did you know that Dev Patel began training Taekwondo when he was 10 years old? He earned his first Dan black belt in March 2006 at the age of 16. That's big deal.
It's wild.
That's, yeah. So he obviously was able to do a lot of his own stunts and everything. And he, you know, even at South By, he had said that he had felt that the action genre had been abused by the system. He went in saying, you know, they tried to make, you know, a quick buck, mindless shit, that he wanted to give it real soul, you know, give it a soul, real trauma, real pain. And he's like, you guys deserve that. I wanted to infuse it with a little bit of culture.
A lot of that, too.
Yep. He did. He also suffered a number of injuries during the filming on the movie, which included a broken hand, two broken toes, a torn shoulder, and an eye infection. Maybe during his little hallucination trip.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap. That's supposed to be in the camera, not me. But yeah, it was originally supposed to be released straight to streaming on Netflix until Jordan Peele saw the film and, feeling that it deserved a theatrical release instead, acquired it from Netflix under his Monkey Paw Productions banner, which has a distribution deal with Universal Pictures. So it'll be on Peacock.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah, but yeah,
I'd forgotten about the Monkey Paw production deal until I saw the train, and then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yep.
And hey, only like 3 production studio things at the beginning of this movie. Progress.
Man, it was a 2-hour movie. That's the other true. One was 90 minutes, so.
No. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, amazing work for Dev Patel's directorial debut.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't. Seeing this movie. So York and his mom went and saw it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he too just absolutely loved it. Yeah. And there was one scene I had to tell his mom about, though. I said, all right, Beth, it's an amazing movie. I said, I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up, though. There's a scene where he's being chased through a brothel and they're fighting, but there's this couple having sex on the other side of the wall. So kind of keep that in mind. I said they show it for like 5-10 seconds, but
it's enough to know what's going on.
Exactly. I said, so, and then he ends up getting thrown through the wall or something like that. So just, kind of keep that in mind. She goes, I'll have my hand ready. Cover his eyes. I said, okay.
Yeah, because when he got through, the pimp wasn't happy about bringing the cops through his. He's like, man, how dare you bring the cops through here?
Yep. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Good. It wasn't just mindless action. It was just he had his purpose, but then later on he found a bigger purpose for why he's doing what he's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Loved it. So this week, Patrick, I don't know, man. Civil War comes out Friday. A24's Civil War.
Yep. As of right now, I'm going to see it in IMAX on Friday.
God. This is Alex Garland, written and directed by Alex Garland. So I probably will. I'm far enough removed, I think, from the last movie we watched that kind of was a little bit too real. But I don't know. I'm still gonna enjoy the movie. I'm still gonna like the movie, but also I hate that I'm there. But anyways, it's fine. But yes, A24's Civil War comes out Friday.
And A24 is cooking this year.
Yeah, they are. Followed by, or along with, a movie called The Long Game in 1955, five young Mexican-American caddies, out of the love for the game, were determined to learn how to play it, so they created their own golf course in the middle of South Texas desert. Starring Dennis Quaid, Jay Hernandez, Julian Vigman, Janelle Ortiz, Brett Cullen, Oscar Nunez from The Office, Cheech Marin, Julian Works. It's a decent cast. So that is also coming out. So it looks like one of those little feel-good golf movies. And then the movie in which you talked about last week, Sting, also comes out for wide release. And then a movie I am having thoughts about already for them remaking. The remake of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Tanya finds her summer plans canceled when her mom jets off for a last-minute retreat, and the elderly babysitter who arrives at the door unexpectedly passes away. Starring Jermaine Fowler, June Squibb, Ian Richardson, Nicole Richie.
Okay. Where's she been? Randomly pops up.
Tariq Withers, Miles Fowler, Simone Joy Jones, Gus Kenworthy. So, yeah, I don't know why, but here we are. And then, lastly, we have a new movie from Johnny Knoxville called Sweet Dreams. This also stars Kate Upton, Bobby Lee, Jay Moore, Theo Vaughn. It follows Morris, who must coach a misfit softball team of his fellow housemates during his mandatory stay at Sweet Dreams Sober Living in order to get his life back on track. Written and directed by Luigi Sarki. So we'll see.
So this is basically like first goal wins,
next
the way
goal.
Back,
next,
or next goal wins, and then the way back with Ben Affleck. Got the person that trying to get his life together, but he's also got to help a team.
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
Yep. Did you already talk about Next Goal Wins?
I don't know I don't remember if I did or not.
Okay.
I have so many that I haven't.
Right. Cause I watched that Saturday. I want to say Saturday. No, it was yesterday morning.
I might have. Cause I kind of remember saying, the best parts were the stuff where Taika Waititi wasn't in it.
Which is most of the movie.
Yeah.
Is most of the movie.
When he pops up, it's like, your comedy's not working in your bits.
Right.
But when he's not on camera, it works better.
Why is Korg the only voice you're doing now?
Yeah. That's all I heard. I'm like, man,
that's
it's not Thor.
Yeah. It's just
But yeah, but other than that, yeah, I thought I might have talked about it. I had to go back, but I might
talk about it for a few minutes next week then.
Okay.
Because I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I think that's all I got. But, yep, another great week. I've got a lot to talk about for next week, too. Hey, yo, because I'm playing catch-up. That will even include my thoughts on the movie Night Swim. Because it's on Peacock for streaming.
Yeah.
So I have a few thoughts.
Like a short film and stretched it to 90 minutes. Yep. it's one of those for me. Well, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
I mean, I already talked about it, but I'll add some stuff.
Yeah, you did, but that's fine. I finally watched it because it was on Peacock. I'm like, yeah, why the hell not?
Yeah.
So, I'm getting up there now. I'm not anywhere near you as far as in theater, but I'm at least double digits now in theater. However, streaming, I'm up to 32 streaming.
Yeah, I'm just letting those come out there. For the most part, they're not going anywhere. So
yeah, 32 streaming, 11 in theater, and 3 on DVD. DVD, yes, DVD.
I mean, I have watched a few streaming as far as movies that didn't come out this year.
Yeah.
But as far as current movies, I think I've only watched 5. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like you said, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll have a time where I'm just not going to. Well, I don't know if it's going to be a time I don't go to the theater. That's kind of been my focus this year.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Even though I was supposed to take it easy. But I said, no, let's see if I can go past 100.
Easy. Easy. Nah, fool, we're going on overdrive.
Yep. I'm like, this might be my midlife crisis, just going to the movies a lot.
It's such a horrible midlife crisis to have.
Well, better than a sports car or motorcycle.
There you go.
Yeah.
With that being said, everybody, we hope you all have an amazing week. We've got a lot to talk about. We had a lot to talk about this week. We're going to have just as much to talk about next week. And we can't wait for you to join us for that episode too. Everyone have a great week. We'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at parental_advisory_movie_pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.